Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever felt threatened, really threatened? Driving along the west side of Lake Tahoe, there are places on that road that are threatening. There are drop-offs with no guardrails. It is a threatening place to go. And being threatened is what the Pharisees felt in the Palm Sunday Gospel that we read earlier. They saw Jesus as a threat due to his popularity. But Jesus' popularity wasn't based on fame, but on his humility. We're reminded in the epistle lesson today that Jesus became humble and human so that he could take on the frailty of flesh and die the death needed to redeem the world and everyone from sin. But that redemption could only happen by Jesus' death. So he emptied himself and he became the servant of all. He said to the disciples that to be the greatest among them is to be the servant of all of them. Jesus wasn't popular because of overwhelming the crowds by revealing his divine glory or splendor or majesty, but because he came and he served them. He fed them. He healed them. And yes, they watched him overcome death for them when, among others, he raised Lazarus from the dead. But all of that wasn't done with the benefit of some sort of a PR guy. Jesus needed no such spin doctor to color his actions. And yet, the Pharisees tried to paint Jesus as a threat to the people, to their security. And in truth, he was a threat to them, but only to the security of the people's pride and their sinfulness. And the Pharisees painted Jesus as a threat to Pilate by inciting the crowd against him, and we'll see that later. On Palm Sunday, though, what they say about the crowd, what the Pharisees say about the crowd is, look, the world has gone after him. When it is the Pharisees themselves who should be following him. After all, he is fulfilling a prophecy they would surely have known. We read that in Zechariah 9 this morning. And speaking of fulfillment from Scripture, this is a victory parade as Jesus comes into Jerusalem to shouts and cheers, to the waving of palm branches and the festive mood of the crowd. And the shouts and cheers are specific. The crowd is using the words from Psalm 118 when they shout out, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And by using with that quote from Psalm 118 the phrase, "the King of Israel," it shows precisely that they believe that he who comes is the Messiah. That's a revelation. And all of this taken together is the crowd expressing their hope that Jesus is the long sought after, promised one of God, the Messiah. And we know that Jesus is the fulfillment of what they indeed hope for. Jesus is in truth the Messiah of God. And he came bringing the kingdom of God, but just not in the way the crowd expected it. And so, looking back again at the Pharisees, as they scornfully watched the crowd shouting, they remained skeptical, they remain aloof, and they remain deadly. Could it be that they were too skeptical? We like to think that we're pretty modern, and we think that we're so distant from those ignorant people of Bible times. And yet, if you dare to watch any of the late-night talk shows or anything like that, you hear almost nothing but cynicism coming from many of these so-called comics. It seems they've been schooled at the knees of the Pharisees. How much of what passes for humor today is nothing more than what we hear the Pharisees saying to themselves as Jesus enters Jerusalem to the waving of palms and the cheers of the world, that he has indeed come as Messiah to save. No doubt many of those cheering truly thought that they believed that Jesus was coming to redeem that particular Israel. They'd seen him raise Lazarus from the dead just a few days before. How could a man who could do that not also overcome anything else? This man defeated death. He defeated death. What could the Romans do to him? He would be king, their messianic king, the promised Holy One from long ago. Never, and you have to remember this, never had they seen such a display of power over death. Never before. And so they had hope, but their hope, like we talked about, their hope was misguided. Their hope was not focused on the things of heaven yet, but still on the things of earth. They were hoping for this vanquisher of death to vanquish just the hated Roman conquerors for them. Now, returning once more to the Pharisees before we close. Yes, the Pharisees knew the prophecy. But to admit that Jesus was the fulfillment of that prophecy would mean more for them than that just the hated Romans would be overthrown. They perhaps thought that they themselves would be out of a job as well. For they would then have to bow their knee to this true king of the Jews. But the truth is that God sent this, his only Son, to redeem the world of its sin, not just to take the place of the priesthood that God himself had established. Threat and fear. Go ahead, Vic. Thank you. Threat and fear is what the Pharisees base their actions on. Many people today do the same thing. Many today also mock Jesus. They deride him. They seek to make him a threat. And in truth, he is. He is a threat to each one of us. He threatens our self-sufficiency. He threatens the imagined security in which we continue to sin. And he's exactly the Messiah we need. We need this servant king to die and rise again to rescue us from our false earthly security and to grant us the true peace of heaven. Behold, our King comes to rescue us. In his name we pray. Amen.